إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 10th lecture in the series based upon the book Ta'zeem As-Salah by Shaykh Abdul Razzaq, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr, Rahimahumullah, Hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. And in this book, its topic is the ta'zeem of the salat, yani the attaching great importance to the salat, and as well acknowledging and recognizing the exalted status and rank of prayer in the life of a Muslim, its magnificence, and glorifying and exalting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-azim by this tremendous act of worship, as-salah. So, before we deal with our topic for tonight, which is Salatul Fajr fil Jama'ah, yani the performance of the Fajr prayer in Jama'ah, before we deal with this, we'd like to quickly review some of the points that we discussed last week from the questions that were given in questionnaire study guide number 9. And originally when we sent the study guide out, there were 8 questions. And before the class, last week we sent out a modified study guide, which included one more question at the end, question number 9. And I mentioned that question last week, so I hope that you also made note of this. The first question is complete. Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, his description of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, in which he said, the meaning of which is, no one of us remained behind from the Salah except, Na'am Abdullah.
Except the hypocrite whose hypocrisy was well known. وَلَقَدْ كَانَ الرَّجُلُ يُؤْتَى بِهِ يُهَادَى بَيْنَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ حَتَّى يُقَامَ فِي الصَّفِّ. And there would be a man who would be carried on the shoulders, between the shoulders of two men until he was made to stand in the rows, or placed in the rows.
نعم جزاك الله خير. يعني this tremendous statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه, in which he mentioned a description of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the brother has recited to us in Arabic, along with its translation, the meaning of which is, no one of them remained behind. No one of them remained behind, meaning from the salah, except a munafiq, a hypocrite, whose hypocrisy was well known. No one of them remained behind. This is a tremendous description of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani the congregation of prayer, the people attended. The men, they attended the congregation of prayer. No one of them remained behind. وَمَا يَتَخَلَّفُ عَنْهَا وَمَا يَتَخَلَّفُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا مُنَافِقْ مَعْلُومَ النِّفَاقِ. And the second description he gave them, he said that a man would be brought, a man who wasn't able to walk, yani who was due to his old age or incapacity or whatever, yani disability, he wasn't able to walk, so he would be brought. وَلَقَدْ يُعْتَى وَلَقَدْ كَانَ الرَّجُلْ يُعْتَى بِهِ, yani a man, he will be brought. He didn't come himself. Rather, he will come. He will be brought. يعني يهذا بين الرجلين, being carried between two people until he will be placed in the line. to be placed in one of the roles or the ranks for the congregational prayer. So this is a tremendous description of the commands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, radiyallahu anhu ajma'in, and it's something for us to reflect upon. And we've heard it before, alhamdulillah, and we will hear it again, and we should yani try to memorize this kind of description, even if we memorize it in English. Memorize it any way that you can. So there's something that you remember and you keep in the forefront of your mind, and it will be an encouragement and a motivation for each one of us men personally, the importance, yani the high status, the lofty status, the value, the great value of this prayer in congregation in the masjids. This is what was in their hearts, and because of that, it caused their bodies to move. It moved their bodies. Yani what was in the heart, it was strong enough to move the bodies. So when a person becomes lazy and tired, and shaitan is whispering to them, telling them it's too far, I can't make it, it's too late, it's this, that, or the other, remember how the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they are our model. They are a model for us. Remember how what was in their heart, and that which is in their heart is what moved them. And we have to have this in our heart, this love and respect, and yani ta'zim of this salat, so that if our heart is filled with that, it will motivate us no matter what our condition. Even if we are old, even if we are sick, no matter what our condition is, it will move us to attend the prayer with the jama'ah in the masjid. And the second question, mentioned the amazing accomplishment of Sa'id ibn Musayyib, rahimahullah. Sa'id ibn Musayyib, rahimahullah, concerning Salatul Jama'ah. Ibrahim. Meaning?
The congregational prayer has not missed me in 40 years. I've not missed it in 40 years.
40 years. Yani, he didn't miss the congregational prayer in 40 years. Tayyib. We will hear more of this, inshallah. The third question, memorize in houses, yani masjids, which Allah has ordered to be raised, in them His name is remembered. Yani from Surah An-Nur, 24th Surah, 36 ayah. Naam, Ahmed. Tayyib. Anybody else memorize this ayah? Naam. Naam. Somebody else. Naam.
First ayah.
That's the end of the ayah. And the next word is from the next ayah, right? We want to connect it, but inshallah, sabr. Tayyib, what is the meaning of this ayah? Fi buyutin adhina Allahu. What is the meaning of adhina Allahu? Amar Allahu. في بيوت أذن الله أي ترفع. What is the meaning of this? Allah has commanded houses in which Allah has commanded to be raised, to be maintained, to be purified. Naam, to be maintained. Houses that Allah has ordered to be built up and to be raised up and to be maintained. And that his name be remembered in it, in these houses. Naam. In the early part of the day and the later part of the day. Yani all the time, day and night. These houses, did anybody see the fatwa of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, concerning a woman who asks, is it permissible for her to ask for divorce from her husband and to be separated from him if he doesn't pray in the masjid? Did anybody see the fatwa? Nobody saw it? Right, we have to send it, inshallah. He almost said the same thing that we read last week in the Dars, that these places have been built up for this reason. And the imams and muezzins have been arranged and organized and set up for this reason. Yani the masajid have been built for people to pray in, to remember Allah. And the muezzin has been, he has been set up for what? To call the people to the salat. And the imam has been set up to make sure that somebody lead the people in congregational salat. He said if the man doesn't pray in the masjid and he's encouraged and reminded and he still doesn't do anything, it's permissible for her to ask for a divorce and to be separated from him. Not because he didn't pray. Because he didn't pray in the masjid. Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. Inshallah, we're going to send this out. so people could reflect on the importance of this matter. After this, question number four, how does the following ayat, yani the ayat after the ayat that we just mentioned, Surah An-Nur 24:37, prove that praying in the masjids is from the signs of rujula, true manhood? First, Naam, what is the second ayat? What is the second ayat? And then after that, we'll see how does it prove this. Naam, fadl.
وإقام الصلاة وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار.
نعم. What is the meaning of this ayat? Somebody else. What is the meaning of this ayat? Somebody who memorized. What is the meaning of it?
Men who do not let their trading and their selling
and buying and selling
divert them
from the remembrance of Allah. And the establishment of the prayer. And paying zakat. Naam. To the end of the ayat. Naam.
And they fear a day when the hearts and the sight will be turned.
They fear a day when the hearts and the sight will be turned around, upside down, turned over. Yani from fear, from the terror of that day. Yani rijalun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them as rijalun. Men. In plural. Rijalun. Who are not distracted or diverted by tijara, by trade, by bay'un, by buying and selling, an dhikrillah wa iqamis salat. They are not distracted from the remembrance of Allah and the establishment of the prayer. These are men. These men are the men who are the ones who are mentioned in the ayah before it. Yani, yusabbihu lahu fiha. Fiha. Ha bi what? Buyutin. Fi buyutin. Adhin Allahu an turfa'a. In houses in which Allah has commanded they be raised up. These people, yusabbihu lahu fiha. These are the people who are glorifying, praising, declaring Allah's perfection. Fiha, in these houses. These are the people who glorify Him. Who are they? Rijalun. Yusabbihu lahu, yani lillahi. Fiha, fil buyut. Buyut, masajid. Yusabbihu lahu fiha, bil ghuduwi wal asali, yani. In the early part of the day, in the later part of the day, Rijalun. Who are the people you sabbihu? Rijal. These men are the people who are declaring Allah's perfection. These men, Rijalun, who are not diverted by buying and selling in business and trade. They are not diverted from the remembrance of Allah. They are not diverted from the establishment of the Salat. Establishment of the Salat where? Fi buyutin. Adhin Allahu an turfa. In the houses that Allah has commanded to be raised up. The masajid. They are men. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the testimony of Allah, the Lord of the world, He is the one who described these people who are doing this as rijal. He described them as rijal. He didn't say qawmun, nasun. He said rijalun. And this is a clear sign, a great indication in this ayat of the magnificence of the establishment of the congregation of prayer in the masajid and the sign of the manhood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes as men. Is that they are the people who are glorifying and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these houses that He commanded to be raised up. And these houses in which He has commanded that His name be mentioned, they are doing it. The Rijal. May Allah make us to be from amongst these Rijal. Question number five. Mention Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah's ruling concerning the performance of the obligatory prayers in the masjid. What was the ruling of Ibn Qayyim concerning the performance of the obligatory prayers in the masajid? Who remembers his ruling? The ruling of Ibn Qayyim. Naam, rahimahullah.
He said that it's wajib. Perform the congregational prayer in the masjid, and performing the congregational prayer outside the masjid is like abandoning the congregational prayer.
Now, he said it's obligatory to perform the congregational prayer in the masjid, and performing it outside of not attending the masjid is the same as not even participating in the congregational prayer. Yani, there's a little point left out. Now,
he said, whoever leaves a prayer in the masjid without an excuse.
Without an excuse. Whoever doesn't attend whoever abandons the being present in the masjid without an excuse is the same as the one who. Is the same as the one who abandons the congregational prayer without an excuse. Meaning that if a person has a Sharia excuse, yani what Allah has allowed, then that's different. Okay, but it's the same. Not attending the prayer in the masjid is the same as not attending the congregational prayer at all. Because the congregational prayer has to be performed in the masjid. Because the congregational prayer has to be performed in the masjid. And also he said that it's fard, but he said what? He defined it. He said it is?
On the individual person.
Now he said it's fardun ala al-a'yan. Yani on every individual. It's fard on every individual, meaning the men, from amongst the men. Naam. So this is very important to understand that attending the masjid for the obligatory prayers, attending the masjid, praying in the congregation in the masjid with the imam at the time of the adhan and the iqamah, that this is obligatory. It's fard ayn. Fardun ala al-a'yan. Naam. After this, yani the last couple of questions, mention a reward for yani related to those hadith, the three hadith that we mentioned at the end of the chapter. Mention a reward for performing ablution well, then going out to the masjid for the sole purpose of performing prayer. What is the reward for this now?
A reward will be to be raised up a daraja.
Raised up a daraja, now?
For every step.
For every step?
And to have a sin removed from every
step. And to have a sin removed for every step, now? Anybody remember that hadith? No, the first hadith. Now. This is important. إِذَا تَوَضَّعَ فَأَحْسَنَ الْوُضُوءُ. Whoever makes wudu, but they do it well. They do it well. They perform it well. This is very important. Now. لَا يُخْرِجُهُ And nothing caused him to go out of his house except the salat. He went for that reason. He didn't go for some other reason. The person made wudu and performed it well and went out to the masjid for no other reason other than to perform the salat, in that case, then he will get this reward that he mentioned. For every step that he takes, he will not take a step except that a darajat will be raised up for him and a sin will be removed from him. So this is also very important, inspiration, motivation for any individual at any moment of laziness to remember, perform ablution and perform it well before you leave your house. And then go to the masjid with the intention of going to the masjid for salat. Then for every step that you take, yani, you will be raised up a degree. And you will be, and a sin will be removed from you. Question number 7, mention 3 acts due to which a person's sins will be erased and degrees, station with Allah, will be raised. Mention 3 acts. 3 acts. Somebody tell me one of them. Naam. Naam, isbagh al-wudu' ala al-makari, meaning
the performance of wudu at a time
when it's difficult. Performing the wudu, isbagh al-wudu, performing it well, completely, perfectly, with difficulty, makari, with when it's difficult, yani makruh, yani when some hardship involved in it. Naam, second one. Somebody give me another one.
Taking many steps to the masjid.
Second one, naam. Kathratul khuta ila al-masajid. Taking a lot of steps to the masjid, meaning the further a person away is, the more reward they will get for it. And the third one? Naam, Abdul Rashid.
Waiting for salat after completing the salat.
Intidhar salat, ba'd salat. Person prayed in congregation and they wait for the next salat. Naam. So this is a very important thing. The Prophet ﷺ said, shall I not point you to something due to which Allah Yani removes sins and raises up degrees. And then he told them these three things. And question number 8, memorize whoever goes out to the masjid in the morning or evening, Allah has prepared for him nuzul fil jannah. Memorize this hadith. Who memorized it? Now. Fadl.
Man qala ila al masjid awraha adna Allahu lahu fil jannati nuzulan min qada awraha. Kullama
ghada awraha. Naam. Somebody else. Who else memorized it? Naam.
And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man ghada ila al-masjid uraha a'adallahu lahu fil jannah nuzulan kullama ghada uraha.
What is the meaning of it? Somebody tell me the meaning of this hadith. Who knows the meaning of it? Help us, somebody. Naam, somebody else. Naam. Follow.
Whoever goes out to the masjid in the morning and in the evening, Allah prepares for him nuzulan. Every time he go in the morning and in the evening.
Whoever goes out in the morning or in the evening, yani in the narration of Imam Muslim, he said, من غدا إلى المسجد أو راحة. Whoever goes out to the masjid in the morning or in the evening. In the narration of Imam Bukhari, he said, من غدا إلى المسجد وراحة. Whoever goes out and, يعني, according to Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he interpreted the meaning of this, whoever goes out and comes back. In any case, يعني, whichever narration that we are looking at, the general meaning is what? Whoever goes out in the masjid, goes out in the morning and goes out in the evening, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prepare, has prepared for them nuzul. Every time they go out and every time they come back, or every time they go out in the morning and every time they go out in the evening. And the nuzul is what?
Accommodations,
lodging, yani whatever is prepared for a guest when they arrive. Somebody came from a journey and they arrived, what do you prepare for them? A place to sleep, some bedding, some food, whatever, all that a person needs. Allah will prepare for that person who does this every time they go out. And every time they come back, or every time they go out in the morning, every time they go out in the evening, Allah will prepare for them nuzul in Jannah for that person every time they're going out to the masjid and coming back. And the last question, which we added, mentioned three of the turuq or ways employed by shaitan to turn the Muslim away from the salah. And I would like to probably rephrase the question a little bit. Mention three of the goals or the degrees of shaitan in his efforts to turn the Muslim away from the salah. Naam, one of them, the first of them, his major goal is, naam, Abdullah. To turn a person away from the salat completely, bil kulliya. Don't even make salat. Naam. And if he can't do that, naam, Abdullah, Muhammad,
Muhammad. If he can't get you to miss the whole salat, then he'll try to get you to miss the first rakah or half of it.
Before that, naam, we're coming to this. Before that, if he can't get you to abandon salat completely, then the next step is, naam, do kareem. Before that. Naam. Before that. Naam. To get you to abandon the jama'ah. If he can't get you to abandon salat, stop praying completely, at least abandon the jama'ah. Don't make the salat in jama'ah. And that may lead to, along with it, abandoning the performance of the salat in its time. Because if you're not in a hurry to pray it, because you're not going to the masjid to pray in jama'ah, you can pray it whenever you get ready to, then that's part of the yani tadarruj of shaitan to get you to abandon the performance of the salat in its time. And the delaying of the salat from its time, yani. The last thing that he said, the sheikh said, is that if he can't get you to abandon the salat in jama'ah, then he will get you to laziness and delay in getting to the salat, so that you will miss part of the salat in jama'ah. So that you will miss part of the salat in jama'ah. He can't get you to abandon the salat, the jama'ah, but he gets you to miss yani some of the jama'ah. So that you lose out on the excellence and the virtue of a sabq ila salat, coming early, being the first of those who get to the masjid for salat. And the excellence of what? Of performing the salat min awwaliha, from the beginning of it, from the first takbir. Huh? If he can't get you to abandon salat completely, then at least he gets you to abandon the jama'ah. If he can't get you to abandon the jama'ah, then at least he gets you to come late, to come lazily, so that you miss some of the jama'ah. So you miss one or two or three rak'ah. And you also lose out on the excellence and the virtue of what? Being of the first people who came for the salat. Performing the salat from the beginning of it, from the first takbir. And these are some of the very important matters that we discussed last week, and we took a little bit of extra time tonight because of the importance of those particular matters. Anyway, tonight, inshallah, our topic is the Fajr prayer. And it's a continuation of what we have been discussing previously, the importance of salat, the magnificence of salat, the station and status of salat in the life of a Muslim, and particularly the Fajr prayer. And we said that the Fajr prayer and the Asr prayer, we mentioned the importance of these prayers, and we also mentioned the importance of the Isha and the Fajr prayer and some other hadith. And today we want to talk about the Fajr prayer. Salatul Fajri, fil jama'ati. Yani the performance of the Fajr Salah in jama'ah. In jama'ah, the Fajr Salah. Huh? Fajr Salah. In jama'ah, in the masjid. Some people are having trouble making salat, period, let alone Fajr Salah. And some people, they're praying Fajr, but they can't get out to bed to get to the masjid. So today we're going to talk about the importance of the Fajr Salah. And we pray and we hope sincerely that Allah will strengthen us and enable us and place in our heart the ta'zim of the salat and the importance of the Salatul Fajr and the importance of salat in the jama'ah and the importance of salat in the masjid, so that if our heart is filled with this exaltation and glorification and acknowledgement and recognition of the importance of this salat in the masjid, in jama'ah, especially the Fajr prayer and the Isha prayer. But today we're talking about the Fajr prayer. Then this will motivate us and mobilize us and enable us to get up and to resist the whispering of shaitan and to overcome the urination of shaitan in the ears of those who sleep through the night and miss the Fajr prayer. So the Shaykh, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, Shaykh Abdul Razak, he said in the beginning of this chapter, رَوَى الْإِمَامَ مَالِكْ فِي مُوَطَّئِهِ عَنِ إِبْنِ الشِّهَابِ. يعني إِبْنِ الشِّهَابِ, Muhammad ibn Shihab, Imam al-Zuhri, the Imam of the scholars of the Tabi'een, Imam of the scholars of the Tabi'een, al-Zuhri, عَنِ إِبْنِ الشِّهَابِ, عَنِ أَبِي بَكْرَ إِبْنِ سُلَيْمَانِ إِبْنِ أَبِي حَثْمَ, أَنَّ عُمَرَ بْنَ الْخَطَّابِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ فَقَدَ سُلَيْمَانَ إِبْنِ أَبِي حَثْمَ فِي صَلَاةِ الصُّبْحِ, وَأَنَّ عُمَرَ بْنَ الْخَطَّابِ غَدَا إِلَى السُّوقِ ومسكن سليمان بين السوق والمسجد النبوي فمر على شفاعي بنت عبد الله أم سليمان فقال لها لم أرى سليمان في الصبح. يعني الإمام مالك رحمه الله mentioned his muwatta from Ibn Shihab from Abu Bakr the son of Sulaiman, the son of Sulaiman Ibn Abi Hathma رحمه الله. He mentions that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu had missed Sulaiman ibn Abi Hathma. He had missed Sulaiman ibn Abi Hathma in the morning prayer. And that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu had went out in the morning to the marketplace. And the house of Sulaiman, who he missed in the Fajr prayer, the house of Sulaiman was between the marketplace and the Prophet's masjid. And when he went out to the souk, he had to pass by his house to get to the souk, because his house is in between the Prophet's masjid and the marketplace. فَمَرَّ عَلَى الشِّفَاء بِنْتِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ سُلَيْمَانِ. So the Umar passed by الشِّفَاء, the daughter of Abdullah, who was the mother of Sulaiman ibn al-Hathma. He passed by Sulaiman's mother on his way to the marketplace. And he said to her, لَمْ أَرَى سُلَيْمَانِ فِي الصُّبْحِ. I didn't see Sulaiman, her son. I didn't see Sulaiman at the dawn prayer. I didn't see him in the masjid. He's a grown man. And somebody's telling his mother, I didn't see your son in the masjid. فَقَالَتْ إِنَّهُ بَاتَ يُصَلِّي فَغَلَبَتْهُ عَيْنَاهُ. She said, he has spent the night in prayer. And his eyes overcame him. Yeah, he got tired. He spent the night standing in prayer. And the sleep overcame him. Meaning, yani, the interpretation of her statement is that his falling back from the Salatul Subh, yani missing the Salatul Subh, remaining in the house and missing the Salatul Subh, it was kana bi sababi qiyamihi li Salatul Layl. It was due to him standing up in the night, performing the night prayer. That's why he missed the Fajr prayer. So his eyes overcame him, yani the sleep overcame him, fanam, so he slept. So he didn't reach the Salatul Subh, yani the dawn prayer, in the jama'ah, in the masjid. فقال عمر رضي الله عنه. So Umar, he said, may Allah be pleased with him, لأن أشهد صلاة الصبح في الجماعة أحب إلي من أن أقوم ليلة. يعني that I attend the صلاة الصبح, the dawn prayer in the jama'ah, is more beloved to me than that I stand a whole night in prayer. Yani attending the Fajr prayer in jama'ah is more beloved to me than standing the whole night in prayer. Now, most of us, we don't have any idea. Yani, I say most, but maybe not even most. Some of us, anyway. We don't have any idea what it's like to stand the whole night in prayer. We don't know what that's like, most of us. Some of us, probably. Maybe some people do know. But whatever it's like, if you can just imagine what it's like for a person to stand the whole night in prayer, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he said, is more beloved to me. أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ. To attend the dawn prayer in congregation is more beloved to me than to stand a whole night in prayer. That is not worth anything to me if it caused me to miss the Fajr prayer. This is who saying this? Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Naam. This is the narration of Imam Malik. The Shaykh says, تَأَمَّلُوا رَآكُمُ اللَّهِ. May Allah protect and guard and preserve you all. Reflect upon this. النص البالغ والفقه العظيم. Reflect upon this. يعني perfect, complete نص. يعني good advice. Or sincere advice. Or concern that Umar is showing. And reflect upon this magnificent fiqh, understanding of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. As far as the nus, yani his showing concern and care and goodwill, Umar's showing concern and goodwill, this is understood from his tafaqqudihi linnasi fi hadha salati wa mulahadatihi lahum wa tatabbu'ihi لمن يتأخر عنها نصحا وتحذيرا. يعني the goodwill that was shown by Umar ibn Khattab, the nus for the believers, is shown in his what? His monitoring the people in this prayer, the Fajr prayer, monitoring the people, checking, reviewing, seeing who's there. He was checking, see who's there, who's present, who's absent, and his making note of it, of who he didn't see. He made a note of it in his mind. He didn't just look and then forget about it and go about his business, but he made a note of it. There's some people I don't see here. And then, that wasn't enough. But then he followed up. Tatabbar. He followed up on the matter. He looked for those people to what? Yani nushan wa tahdhiran. To give them advice and also to warn them about the danger of missing the Fajr prayer and congregation in the masjid. This shows the love and compassion and concern and sincerity of Umar ibn al-Khattab. His nus, his real concern for the believers, his real goodwill for the believers, that he checked and he made a note and then he followed up on the matter. And his uswa, yani his model in this matter, is that of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As it has reported in the Sunan of Abi Dawood. And this narration is a little different in the wording from the narration that we mentioned before, the narration of Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the prayer one day for us, the morning prayer, the sub, Fajr prayer. And he said, is so and so present? And they said no. And he said, is so and so present? And they said no. And then he said, and in some of the narrations of the hadith it said, he asked about three people who were from amongst the hypocrites, and none of them were present. In other narrations, this hadith is narrated in a lot of books, maybe 20 or 30 or 40 different books of hadith. In some of the narrations, it mentions that he asked about three people who were known to be from amongst the hypocrites. And then he said, إِنَّ هَاتَيْنِ الصَّلَاتَيْنِ أَثْقَلُ الصَّلَوَاتِ عَلَى الْمُنَافِقِينَ. That these two prayers, meaning the Fajr prayer that he was intending at that time when he was asking, yani the Prophet ﷺ was asking about who is so-and-so here, is so-and-so here. He said these two prayers, the Fajr prayer, and he included with it, he's talking about the Isha prayer, are the most difficult, the heaviest, the most burdensome prayers on the hypocrites. Walau, in this narration, remember the narration that we took before, he said, walau ya'lamuna ma fihima. If they knew what was in them, la'atawhuma walau habawa. Then they would have come even crawling. In this narration, it's reported in the Sunan of Abu Dawud, and Shaykh al-Albani said the hadith is Hasan. He said, lau ta'lamuna ma fihima. If you all, and the people that is in the masjid, he's talking to them. He's saying, if you all knew what it was in these two prayers, yani the virtue and excellence and reward in them, لَأَتَيْتُمُوهُمَا وَلَوْ حَبُوًا عَلَى رُقَبٍ. Then you would have come to it even crawling on your knees. Even crawling on your knees. And whoever has in their heart a consciousness and awareness of the value and importance and excellence and status of these prayers, especially the Fajr prayer and Isha prayer, then if they had this in their heart, they will come to it by any means necessary, even if they have to crawl on their knees. said the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This shows the nus of Umar al-Khattab, yani in having concern for the believers, in following the example of the nus of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his great concern in monitoring the people and noting who was absent and looking out to see, yani these people are these people that can be advised and reminded and encouraged so that they can be helped. And this is also our responsibility. If you know a brother who doesn't come to the masjid for the Fajr prayer, advise him, remind him, encourage him, say something. Don't just say, I don't care, he's doing whatever he's doing, I'm worrying about me, I don't care about nobody else. No, this is part of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Khulafa al-Rashidin al-Mahdiin. So the Shaykh says, this is the nus, yani the show of concern, real concern and care, goodwill of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, in following the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second thing he said, أَمَّا الْفِقْ الْعَظِيمُ, yani this tremendous fiqh understanding of Umar ibn al-Khattab. He said that fiqh is in this statement of Umar radiallahu anhu is tanbihun, yani a notification in the statement of Umar ibn al-Khattab that to attend the Fajr prayer with the in the Jama'ah is more beloved to me than praying all night long voluntary prayers. In this statement, there is a tanbih, a notification. Be aware, wake up, listen to what he's saying. There's a notification, لِمَكَانَةِ هَذِي الْفَرِيدَ الْعَظِيمَةِ, yani the magnificent status of this obligatory duty, وَمَنْزِلَتِهَا الْعَلِيَّةِ, and its high, lofty station of this obligatory duty, such that he said, لَنْ أَشْهَدَ صَلَاتُ الصُّبْحِ فِي الْجَمَاعَةِ, yani for me to be in attendance, to be present for the morning prayer in congregation, أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَقُومَ لَيْلَةً, is more beloved to me than that I stand the whole night in voluntary prayer. And the witness for this statement of Umar, his fiqh, yani what bears witness to it, yani what supports what he said, that he's correct and right in what he said, is what has been narrated by Imam Muslim in his Sahih from Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, the third Khalifa of the Muslims after Umar radiallahu anhu majmain, who said, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ, I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, yani Uthman said, I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, مَنْ صَلَّى الْعِشَاءَ فِي جَمَاعَةٍ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَامَ نِصْفَ اللَّيْلِ, that whoever prays the Isha in congregation, it is as though he has stood up for half of the night. وَمَنْ صَلَّى الصُّبْحَ فِي جَمَاعَةٍ فَكَأَنَّمَا صَلَّى اللَّيْلَ كُلَّهُ, and whoever performs the subh, yani the fajr, dawn prayer, in congregation, it is as though he has prayed al-layla kullahu. It is as though he has prayed the night, the whole of it, the entire night. So this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, narrated by Uthman ibn Affan, confirms the fiqh, the understanding of Umar. Where did he get it from? He got it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever prays the Isha prayer in congregation, it's as though they have stood up for half of the night in prayer. And whoever prays the Fajr prayer in congregation, it is as though they have prayed for the entire night. Hadith reported by who? Al-Imam Muslim. Naam. The Shaykh says, so this is the Fajr prayer. This is its, yani, sha'nuha, yani its status, its position with us. Rather, it is just a little bit of what points to the greatness of its station and the loftiness of its reward and the abundance of its recompense. Therefore, yani what has been mentioned shows us something about the greatness of this prayer and its station and status and its reward, the abundance of its reward. Yani praying the Fajr prayer in Jama'ah is as though you have stood up the whole night. So imagine the person who didn't get up last night. Maybe won't get up tonight, but they got up and prayed the Fajr in Jama'ah. It's as though they have prayed the whole night in terms of reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the status and position and reward of the Fajr prayer. فَمَا شَأْنُنَا مَا هَذِهِ الصَّلَاةِ, so the Shaykh asks, so what is our affair? What is our yani relationship with this salat? How are we doing with the Fajr prayer in Jama'ah in the masjid? وَمَا حَظُّنَا مِنْ هَذِهِ الْفَرِيضَةِ, So what is our share of this obligatory duty? Yani, are we getting any share of this tremendous reward of praying the Fajr prayer in Jama'ah, or are we losing out on it? وَقَيْفَ مُوَاظَبَتُنَا عَلَيْهَا. And how consistent are we in performing the Fajr prayer in Jama'ah? Not once in a while, once a week, yani now and then, on the weekend or on the holidays or when I have a vacation. How consistent are we in performing the Fajr prayer in Jama'ah? These are questions that we have to ask ourselves. We don't need to ask anybody else about this. Rather, we have to ask ourselves, what is our status with this prayer? And then the Shaykh mentions tremendous narration showing the greatness and magnitude of this companion of the Prophet ﷺ, who was the second Khalifa after Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn al-Khattab. Look at the magnificence of this man. This is Umar radiallahu anhu, the one who said this great word that we have just mentioned. Yani, to attend the Fajr prayer in Jama'ah is more beloved to me than praying the whole night. This same Umar radiallahu anhu, the one who said this great word and this tremendous lofty statement that has preceded, in the last moments of his life in this world, مُعَظِّمًا لِشَعْنِ هَذَا الصَّلَاةِ, showing the magnificence, acknowledging, not in speech, but in action, the magnificence of this, يعني, salat. What has been narrated from Al-Imam Malik in his Muwatta, rahimahullah, أَنَّ الْمِسْوَرْ إِبْنِ مَخْرَمَةً rahimahullah said, دَخَلْتُ عَلَى عُمَرْ مِنَ اللَّيْلَةِ الَّتِي تُعِنَا فِيهَا, that I entered upon Umar in the night in which he was stabbed, from which he died. In the night that Umar was stabbed, and he hadn't yet died, I went to him in that night. For what reason? أُوْقِذُهُ لِسَّلَاةُ الصُّبْ. For what? To wake him up for Salatul Subh. The Shaykh, he says, I'm stopping the narration here. The Shaykh is saying, may Allah guard and protect you. Listen to, pay attention to these words, ta'ammal these words. The night in which he was stabbed, he came to wake him up for Salatul Subh. So what did Umar do? Qala na'am. Umar said, na'am, wa la hadha fil Islam liman taraka as-salat. Na'am. There is no share in Islam for the one who abandons salat. وَقَامَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَأَرْضَاهُ. So he got up. May Allah be pleased with him. And make him be, to be pleased. وَصَلَّ الْفَجْرِ وَجُرْحُهُ يَثْعَبُ دَمَا. So he got up and he prayed the Fajr prayer, while his wounds were gushing from, with blood gushing out of them. Naam. Allahu Akbar. مَا عَظَمَ هَذِهِ السَّلَاةِ. Oh, how magnificent is this salat. وَمَا أَجَلَّ شَأْنَهَا. And oh, how majestic is its affair. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. In their hearts. يعني the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And for this reason, عَظُمَتْ الْمُحَافَظَ عَلَيْهَا. And because of the status of this prayer in their hearts, this is why they're guarding it and protecting it and preserving it and sticking to it was so great. وَاشْتَدَّتْ الْإِنَايَ بِهَا. And their care given to it was so severe. مَهْمَا كَانَتْ الظُّرُوفِ وَمَهْمَا كَانَ الْأَحْوَالِ. No matter what is the circumstances and no matter what conditions they are under, they gave extreme care to this salat. حَتَّى فِي مُلَاقَاتِ الْأَعَدَاءِ وَفِي صُفُوفِ الْجِهَادِ وَحَتَّى فِي مِثْلِ هَذِهِ الْحَالَ الَّتِي كَانَ عَلَيْهِ عُمَرْ وَجُرْحُهُ يَثْعَبُ دَمًا. Even at the time when they are meeting the enemies, even when they are in the lines of jihad, even in the like of this condition or situation that Umar was in, with blood gushing forth from his wounds, they didn't abandon the salat in Jama'ah. And this was the Fajr prayer. The man came to him to wake him up for the Fajr prayer. What did Umar say? Na'am. وَلَا حَظُّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ لِمَنْ تَرَكُ السَّلَاةِ. Na'am. There is no share in Islam for the one who abandons salat. Na'am. مَا حَظُّنَا مَعَهَا. So what is our share of this? The Shaykh is asking a question to us. Individually. Brothers and sisters. Sisters don't have to go to the masjid, but they got to get up for Fajr in the time of Fajr. So what is our share? Or what, yani, what is our share of this affair? كَيْفَ شَعْنُنَا فِي أَدَائِهَا. What is, what, how are we in the performance, the fulfillment of this obligation? Indeed, it is obligatory upon us. أَن نُحَاسِبَ أَنفُسَنَا فِي هَذِهِ الْفَرِيدَةِ. It's obligatory upon us to take account of ourselves in reference to this obligatory duty. And Umar was the one who said, حَاسِبُ أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُ. حَاسِبُ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Take account of yourselves before account is taken of you. Naam. In reference to this salah and in every other obligatory duty that Allah has placed upon us. For indeed, the one who neglects it, this salat, then he will be more neglectful of anything other than it, because everything else is less than it. So if a person neglects that which is important, then more so they're going to neglect that which has no importance. And there's no share in Islam for the one who neglects the salat, as has been said by Umar radiallahu anhu. Indeed, this affair is yani great. This matter is a weighty matter. And the things that occupy us or distract us from it, from the salat, in this day and time, كثرت وتعددت. There are many. There are too many distractions. So many of them. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he blamed, he scolded, he censured the one who remained behind from the Salatul Fajr due to his eyes over sleep overtaking him because he was standing in the night in prayer. And Umar scolded him. And he had an excuse. What was the excuse? I was standing the whole night in prayer. And Umar said, that's not an excuse. We don't accept that. To attend the Fajr prayer in Jama'ah in the masjid is more beloved to me than you standing the night in a whole night in prayer. So what do we say to those who remain behind from Salatul Fajr? And in this night, they are spending the night in that which is haram. Mm-hmm. Or they are staying up the whole night engaging in sins. Rather, even to those who spend the night in some things that are permissible, what do we say to them? Yeah, even permissible things, spending the whole night and missing the Fajr prayer? If the one who remained behind from the Fajr prayer, due to them staying up in ta'ah, in something of obedience to Allah, wa qiyam laylin, and standing yani in the night in prayer and reading the Quran, if this one is sinful for missing the Fajr prayer even while they spent the night in obedience to Allah, then what about the one who spends the night in something that is permissible? Not obedience to Allah, just something permissible. Or spending the night, and we seek refuge in Allah from this, spending the night in that which is haram. So the Salatul Fajr, the Shaykh says, the Salatul Fajr comes to us as the opener of the day, the start of the day, the beginning of the day. Salatul Fajr is what we open our day with. This is what we start with. This is what we begin our day with. So the one who guards and protects and preserves it, then it is the unwan ala falah al-insan wa sa'adatihi fi yawmihi kullih. Then it is a sign or a token or that which leads to the success of the human being and their good fortune in the whole of the rest of their day. While neglecting it, it is neglect. Wallahi, it is neglect for their day, the whole of it. And the losing of its barakah, neglecting the Fajr prayer. And then the Shaykh mentions three narrations which support yani this statement. And the Prophet ﷺ used to pray that Allah put blessings in the early part of the day of his ummah. And it starts with the Fajr prayer. So let us reflect upon this meaning that is confirmed in the Sahihain, al-Bukhari and Muslim, from the hadith of Abu Hurairah, in which, radiallahu anhu, in which he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَعْقِدُ الشَّيْطَانُ عَلَى قَافِيَةِ رَأْسِ أَحَدِكُمْ إِذَا هُوَ نَامَ ثَلَاثَ عُقَدٍ. That shaitan ties three knots upon the neck or the back of the head, yani the neck the nape of the neck of one of you. If he sleeps, shaitan ties 3 knots on the back of his head, on the nape of his neck. يَدْرِبُ كُلَّ أُقْدَةٍ مَكَانَهَا. Yani, and he recites or says, on each of these knots, عَلَيْكَ لَيْلٌ طَوِيلٌ فَرْقُدْ. Yani, there's a long night ahead of you, so sleep. Sleep, and stay asleep the whole night and don't wake up. فَإِنْ اسْتَيْقَظَ فَذَكَرَ اللَّهِ إِنْ حَلَّتْ أُقْدَةٌ. But if he wakes up and he remembers Allah, makes dhikr of Allah, then one of those knots will be untied, released. فَإِنْ تَوَضَّعَ إِنْ حَلَّتْ أُقْدَةٌ. And if he makes wudu after remembering Allah, then another of those knots will be released. فَإِنْ صَلَّ إِنْ حَلَّتْ أُقْدَةٌ. This is how it came in the narration in the book. And if he prays, then a knot will be released or untied. And in the Sahih of Bukhari, the narration came, when صلى إن حلت أقد أقده كلها. Then if he prays, then all of the knots will be released. فأصبح نشيطا طيب النفس. So he will start his morning active. طيب النفس. طيب النفس. يعني his soul will be good. يعني he will be feeling good. وإلا أصبح خبيث النفس كسلانا. And otherwise, if he didn't get up and remember Allah and make wudu and make salat, then he will begin his morning خبيث النفس. His soul will be filthy, ugly, evil, and he will be lazy. This is the first narration that supports the fact that the Salatul Fajr is the opening of our day, and whoever opens it with the Salatul Fajr, the day will be good for them. And whoever doesn't, it will be otherwise. This is the affair. This is the condition. Yani the person who wakes up without praying the Fajr prayer, without remembering Allah, and making wudu and making salat, they will wake up, yani khabith al-nafs kaslana. They will be lazy, yani with a filthy, yani evil self. This is the affair of the person who has abandoned the Fajr, the Shaykh says. Yani his soul, his nafs will be evil. And his day, the whole of it, will be lazy. Whereas the one who guards the Fajr prayer and performs it in its time, along with the group of the Muslims in Jama'ah, then this doing so will be the unwan, the sign, or that which points to al-barakah, blessings for him, and khair, and goodness, and sa'adah, and good fortune in his day. The praying of the Salatul Fajr on time in Jama'ah in the masjid. So let us reflect also, as a proof of this matter, the importance of praying the Fajr prayer, starting our day with it, that which is narrated by al-Bukhari and Muslim again. This time from Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, ذُكِرَ عِنْدَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ رَجُلٌ نَامَ لَيْلَهُ حَتَّى أَصْبَحَ. Yani a man was mentioned in the presence of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم who slept the whole night until morning came upon him. Yani until he missed the Fajr. The Prophet ﷺ said about him, ذَاكَ رَجُلٌ بَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ فِي أُذُنَيْهِ أَوْ قَالَ فِي أُذُنِهِ. That is a man that shaitan has urinated in his two ears. Or he said, in his ear. This hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. The Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, he says, the scholars have made clear to us that shaitan urinating in his ears is real urination. Yani, Bawlan haqiqiyan. He really urinates in the ears of the person who misses the Fajr prayer. So what is the condition of the person who is in this state? Yani he gets up and his ears are filled with the urine, the filthy urine of shaitan. This is the condition of the one who abandons the Salatul Fajr, drowning in their sleep. Hadith number 3, also reported by Al-Bukhari. Yani narrated by Al-Bukhari in his Sahih from the Hadith of Samura ibn Jundub. In a long narration, a very, very lengthy narration, which has a lot of components to it, and the Shaykh only mentions the one part of it. In it is the mention of the dream, of dreams of the Prophet ﷺ, which he saw, and in it is mentioned that we came Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with two angels, he said, this is what happened in his vision. He said that he was with two angels and they came upon a man who was laying down, and there was another man standing over him with a huge rock, stone. And then the man with the rock over him was yani throwing the stone down on his head, bashing his head, smashing it, crushing his head, and then the stone would roll away, and then that man would follow it and he would bring it back. And before he would get back to the man whose head he had busted open, يعني يصح رأسه كما كان, his head would return, would come back to its condition as it was before his head was smashed. ثم يعود عليه فيفعل به مثل ما فعل المرة الأولى. Then that man would go back to him and he would do the same thing that he did to them the first time, يعني smash his head with this huge rock, and the rock would roll away, and he would go back and bring it back. And Allah would cause his head to come back into its normal position again and its condition, and then he would smash it in again. And some of the narrators said that this would go on and on and on. The Prophet ﷺ, in the end of this hadith, after mentioning various different people and their punishments that he saw in this vision or this dream, in the end of it he said, he explained each one of them what it meant. And as far as the first one, he said, this one that he mentioned here and this that the Shaykh is mentioning here, he said it, the one whose head was smashed open by the rock, he was a man. فَإِنَّهُ الرَّجُلُ يَأْخُذُ الْقُرْآنَ فَيَرَفُضُهُ وَنَامَ عَنِ السَّلَاةِ الْمَكْتُوبَةِ. He was a man who took the Qur'an, yani he memorized the Qur'an, he studied and learned the Qur'an, and then he abandoned it, he rejected it, he didn't act upon it, he didn't live by it. And Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he said that the meaning of this is that this person, after memorizing the Qur'an, then rejecting it, this is a tremendous sin, because it suggests that he found something in the Qur'an when he was studying it that necessitated him getting rid of it. It wasn't any good. This suggests that, and this is an evil suggestion. So since this person has rejected the most noble of all things, that is the book of Allah, the Qur'an, so his punishment was in the most noble part of his body, that is in his head. And the shahid of this hadith is that the Prophet ﷺ said that this man whose head was being smashed open again and again and again was a man who had learned the Qur'an and then he abandoned it. He didn't live by it, he didn't act upon it, and he used to sleep past the obligatory prayer. So his punishment was in his head because of his sleeping past the salat. Because the place of the sleep is in the head. After this, the Shaykh mentions another incident in the life of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and the time is coming upon us. Another important incident that shows the greatness, the very high status, the magnificence of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially the rightly guided Khulafa, and particularly Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He says, here is another khabar, يعني information, news, a qissa azima, a tremendous story, another tremendous story from Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu concerning the affair of the salat and guarding the salat in jama'ah. This narration has been narrated by al-Hakim in his Mustadrak from Abdul ibn Ja'far, that Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu ata ila manzili Sa'id ibn Yarbu' ya'uduhu fi faqdihi li basarihi. يعني Abdul ibn Ja'far, he said that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu came to the house of Sa'id ibn Yarbur to visit him on the occasion of him losing his sight. He was an old man and he lost his sight. He became blind. So Umar went to visit him when he heard that he became blind. He went to visit him. Yani, the Shaykh is explaining here, Shaykh Abdul Razak is explaining the narration. He's saying he became blind, so Umar went to his house to visit him. Huh? The narration goes on. فَقَالَ لَهُ عُمَرَ. So Umar said to him, to Sa'id ibn Yarbu', he said to him, لَا تَضَعَ الْجُمُعَةَ وَلَا الصَّلَاةَ فِي مَسْجِدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Do not abandon the Jumu'ah prayer on Friday, nor the Salat in the Masjid of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقال الرجل, the man said, ليس لي قائد, I don't have anybody to guide me. قال عمر, نحن نبعث إليك بقائد. We will send a guide to you. فبعث إليه غلام من السبي. So he sent to him a young boy from amongst the captives. Huh? Look at this احتمام, care. وكان سن سعيد في ذلك الوقت قارب المية. سعيد ابن يربوع رحمه الله at that time was nearly 100 years old. And not only was he 100, almost 100 years old, but he lost his sight. And then Umar is saying to him, in that age, having lost his sight, don't abandon the Jumu'ah and don't abandon the Salat. Yani the obligatory prayers in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What more do we want? What about the 100-year-old man? Did anybody see the video of the 100-year-old man in Saudi Arabia who was walking to the masjid, leaning on the wall with a cane in one hand and holding the wall with the other hand, walking to the masjid, step by step, going to the masjid for Salat and Jama'ah?
120.
Huh? 120. Look at this matter. The Sheikh Abdul Razak, he gives us a story that he witnessed himself. This is not from the old times, this is from this time. Like the man that we saw in this video, the Sheikh, he says, وَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ فِي قَرْيَةٍ صَغِيرَةٍ شَرْقَ الْمَدِينَةِ. I myself saw this in a small village east of Medina. A rope that was tied tightly from a house to the door of the masjid. So I asked about it, and it was said to him, this is the house of a man who is Kabir al-Sin. He's elderly, and he's Khafif al-Basr. He's blind. He doesn't have anybody to bring him to the masjid. He doesn't have a qa'id. So he holds on to this rope at every salat, going to the masjid and coming back to his house. This is real life. This is real life. I don't know what life we're living in. This is real life. So if Umar, yani the Sheikh is now going back to Umar dealing with Sa'id ibn Yarbu' rahimahullah, he said, so if Umar, radiallahu anhu, said such a thing, told this man, don't abandon the Jummah and don't abandon the Salat in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had lost his sight and his age was nearly 100 years, what will be said to these young people who are healthy and strong and who see? What should be said to them? And who are not attending the Fajr prayer in Jama'ah. What should be said to them concerning the Salat and guarding the Salat while their neglect and abandonment of it is severe, and their neglect and omission of this prayer is yani extreme. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ الْمُشْتَقَى. And the complaint is only to Allah alone. And the Shaykh, he ends by saying, so fear Allah Azza wa Jalla, and let's take this matter yani with seriousness and resolve, yani resolution, determination, and al-isti'ana billahi tabaraka wa ta'ala, and seeking help from Allah. Yani be serious, be determined, and ask help from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And let's abandon the ta'khir, being late, wa taswif, soon I will get there. How many of the young people delay and put off and die in their putting off? Yani, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna get it together. And they die in that condition. And they meet Allah as one who has abandoned his salat, the person who has neglected this obligatory duty. Indeed, guarding the salatul fajr in the congregation is from the signs of the sincerity or truthfulness of a person's iman. يعني المحافظة على صلاة الفجر مع الجماعة من علامات صدق الإيمان. It's from the signs of the truthfulness of a person's iman. Person, they really have iman. Everybody claims the iman, but whose iman is يعني truthful iman. ومؤشر على قوة الإسلام. And it is an indicator of the strength of a person's Islam. يعني you want to know how sincere you are, how sincere is your iman, and how strong is your Islam? Well, the Shaykh says, guarding the Salatul Fajr with the Jama'ah, it is from the signs of Sidq al-Iman, truthfulness of a person's iman. And it is from the indicators of quwwat al-Islam, the strength of a person's Islam. So if a person does not attend this salat in the jama'ah, then this is a burhan, a clear proof, ala waha imanihi, of the fragility, yani that his iman is fragile, is easily broken, destroyed, wadda'af qalbihi, and the weakness of his heart. And it is a dalil, a proof, ala istislamihi li nafsihi wa hawah. And it is a proof of his what? Surrendering to his nafs, and his hawa, his desires. Wa inzihamihi amama shahawatihi. And that he has been defeated, routed, yani destroyed, utterly defeated, in front of his desires. The Shaykh says, how can this person who remained behind in sleep, how can he be pleased with this? How can he be pleased with this sleep that caused him to miss the Fajr prayer? How can he enjoy the bed, the firash, the mattress and blankets and sheets of comfort? How can he enjoy this? وَالْمُسْلِمُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ فِي بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ مَا قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ يَعِيشُونَ وَإِلَى لَذِيذ خِطَابِ اللَّهِ يَسْتَمِعُونَ وَفِي رَبِيعِ جَنَّاتِهِ يَتَقَلَّبُونَ. How can this person who remained behind enjoy this sleep? How can they enjoy this bedding while the Muslims are in the masjids and the houses of Allah? Ya'ishuna, living with this Qur'an al-Fajr, listening to the Qur'an al-Fajr being recited at Fajr time. They are living, this is what they are living. And you're in the bed sleeping? And they are enjoying the khitab of Allah, the speech of Allah, yastami'un, listening to the speech of Allah, the sweetness of the speech of Allah. And they are in the spring of the gardens of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani in ease and comfort, enjoying the gardens of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam, that's what it is. The person is in the masjid, in the Fajr prayer, listening to the Quran, the speech of Allah. How can one prefer the sweetness of sleep and their bedding over the sweetness of direct, personal, private communion with Allah and the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fulfilling this tremendous act of obedience? لا يفعل ذلك إلا خاسر محروم ونعوذ بالله من الخسران والسبيل أهل الحرمان. And nobody can do this, yani prefer, enjoy the sweetness of sleep in the bed while the Muslims are in the houses of Allah, listening to the speech of Allah, enjoying the gardens and the fruits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can anyone prefer this sleep and this bedding over this wonderful communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fulfilling this obligatory duty? The Shaykh said, no one can do this illa khasirun mahroom, except a loser who has been deprived, and we seek refuge in Allah from this loss and from the way of the people who have been deprived. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts, yani, to what we have heard, and to reward the Shaykh Abdul Razak tremendously for giving us these ayat and hadith and athar from the Sahaba. And we ask Allah to open our hearts to accept it and to do better than we have done before. Yani, to look at ourselves yesterday and try to do better today. To look at ourselves today and try to do better tomorrow. Let's not be content with our condition, and let's not be overwhelmed. Let's not be overwhelmed by our circumstances. Rather, as the Shaykh said, let's be serious about this. Let's make firm resolve and ask Allah's help. And ask Allah's help. And ask Allah's help. And ask Allah's help. Naam. And whoever asks Allah's help, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely help them. Whoever put their trust in Allah, Allah will be sufficient for them. Whoever observes taqwa of Allah, Allah will make a way out for them. May Allah make a way for all of us and make it easy for us. And let's try to do better, inshallah. Let's try to do better tomorrow than we did today. Let's try to do better tomorrow than we did today. Let's remember the people who came before us and what they were like. And these people are the people that we love, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the people who came after them from amongst the tabi'un, and the people who came after them. These are the people that we love. These are our models and our examples. And these are the people that we want to emulate. But it requires more than speech. It requires more than saying we love the Salaf. Rather, we should love the actions of the Salaf, and we should try to do them ourselves.